Commerce Committee is called to order on April 11th, 1997.
Oh, yeah.
And present are Representative Rookberg, Codrey, Sanders, Ryan, and Hudson. We do have a quorum. And on the calendar today, we have Senate Bill 137, an act exempting certain volunteer emergency medical technicians and volunteer firefighters from state wage and hour laws and providing for an effective date. And we have with us the bill sponsors, legislative assistant, Ms. Kreitzer. Welcome to the House Labor and Commerce Committee once again, and please identify yourself and give your name, rank, and serial number for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am Annette Kreitzer, staff to Senator Lehman, who has sponsored this legislation. The committee has before it a committee blank committee substitute for the bill. If the committee desires to adopt that, I can explain the reason for the change and then give some testimony.
Perhaps you can just tell us what the bill does to begin with, and then we'll take up the CS.
Certainly. Mr. Chairman, the bill was introduced at the request of Interior Region Emergency Medical Services, and it simply adds voluntary emergency medical technicians and firefighters to the list of those exempted from the Alaska Wage and Hour Act. It was necessary due to the interpretation by the State Department of Labor of what constitutes an employee-employer relationship under the Federal Fair Labor Standards Act. The interpretation has been confusing and inconsistent, and there's no clear exemption for these volunteers under current law. The Department of Labor really has no wiggle room, if you will, in interpreting what the exemptions are under the Alaska Wage and Hour Act. There just really isn't a clear category to be able to exempt firefighters and EMTs under that for the purposes of giving them back reimbursement for out-of-pocket expenses. So that's what the bill does.
And very good. And perhaps the CS then.
Certainly.
Why don't we, I'd entertain a motion to adopt the blank CS.
I'd make a motion to adopt the Senate Bill, Committee Substitute Senate Bill 137, LSO 70727/E, dated 4/10/1997.
Are any objections? Hearing none, the Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 137 is adopted. Ms. Kreitzer, please.
Mr. Chairman, the reason for the committee substitute, I received a phone call yesterday from what is called a combined fire department, a fire department where they have paid and volunteer firefighters. And the concern was that this bill would be used to prevent, or actually to make paid firefighters actually have to volunteer. And that wasn't the intent of the legislation at all. As I said before, it was just to get them exempt from the Alaska Wage and Hour Act for the purpose of reimbursement. So the changes in the committee substitute are on line 5, you'll see the word only has been added, that an individual who provides emergency medical services only on a voluntary basis, and then again after a full-time fire department, only on a voluntary basis. The other change is on in the bill previously, it said firefighters or a person who serves with a full-time fire department on a temporary voluntary basis. We deleted the word temporary mainly because the drafter couldn't understand why the word was even in there to begin with. And she said that it's my understanding that firefighters who are volunteers don't just volunteer for 1 year. They volunteer for many years. And with this word temporary in here, they would not have been included in the people who could be reimbursed for their out-of-pocket expenses. So we deleted the word temporary because it never should have been in there.
Other questions of bill sponsors, Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What would be the, just an example of the fiscal effect of this? I mean, give me a couple of differences without this and with this. You've got an idea?
Through the chair, Representative Hudson, I think that online you have the TOC representative who can explain. His service is one that's really been impacted by the lack of this legislation. What it would mean to his service is having to organize in more of a fashion than that organization is already, do forms like 1099s and that kind of paperwork, and I'm not certain what kind of cost that would mean to that service. I can't guess for them how much it would mean, but he can speak to that, I'm sure.
Mr. Chairman, just to follow up, and so whoever's going to testify.
Gentlemen.
If you could speak also to the impact. Are we talking about the overtime over eight and time and a half and all of those kind of issues? Perhaps that could be spoken to as well so we can understand that.
Ms. Green, do you want to answer that or leave that?
Mr. Chairman, I'll leave that to Craig Lewis and to Mr. Dean from TOC.
Okay. There are, yes, there are four people who wish to testify, so why don't we go ahead and take public testimony. Perhaps we'll be able to answer those any questions we have, and then call Ms. Kreitzer back up if we need to afterwards. Thank you very much for your testimony. First, let's go to TOC. Mr. Tom Dean, sir, please identify yourself and your affiliation and give us a contact phone number if you would, please.
Okay, this is Tom Dean. You hear me okay?
Yes, we can, sir.
Okay, I'm chief of the TOC area EMS, the ambulance service for the TOC area, Upper Tananar River Valley. And it is my fault that we're talking about this today in investigation, in my investigation, to be sure that we could cover the expenses of my volunteers in the service and not get into trouble with the Department of Labor, hour and wages and so forth. And I talked with Craig Lewis about it and also Mark Johnson. And Craig has did some research on it and has requested this bill to with this exemption. My concern was we are quite active in service and we do some long transports here to Fairbanks probably two or three times a month. It's an average of 9 hours. Occasionally go to Anchorage, that takes a 15-hour trip. And we are completely volunteer as far as our EMTs and drivers and so forth, patient care. But my concern is I don't want, if people are willing to spend that much time, of course, I don't want it to cost them out of pocket in either training or in expenses that may occur, especially these long transports. And that was my concern, that I can pay any expenses that occur so that it's not at least a financial hardship on people that are volunteering without getting into problems that arise as a employer-employee relationship. We're not in the position, at this time anyway, to get into a paid or part-paid employer-employee relationship. But my concern is that if people are willing to spend that much time, which we do, that it doesn't cost them out of pocket to do this because it is a lot of commitment just in time. I am in favor of this bill, and I don't know if I've answered the questions that have arisen. Anything specific, I'll try.
Mr. Thomas, could you give the committee an example of what you mean by traveling to Anchorage or Fairbanks for training and then the costs? Money and then it brings it under the act. Could you just kind of walk us through where this comes to light and what parts of the law that it brings up?
Well, paying a per diem to cover meals and incidentals when we're out of town for training or out of town on transports. My concern is just that we don't get involved in hour and wages and employer-employee relationship at this time. And the board of directors for TOC Clinic Incorporated, who's over TOC area EMS, is concerned that we just don't get into any legal hassles and yet be fair to our people. The amount of money involved is not a whole lot, but apparently enough to where it could be a question of hour and wage laws.
Very good. There are questions of Mr. Dean. Representative Cotter.
Thank you. I'm not familiar with this these volunteer situations. Do you get benefits, any benefits provided by the state in as you're doing for your work?
Now, are you talking about for the service or for the individual people?
For the individual people?
No. The only you benefit don't... to individual people is training and experience and helping their neighbors and others in the area.
So there's no compensation or benefits for, you know, like health benefits or anything like that connected?
No.
Thank you.
Representative Ryan.
If I might add a little something, having had some experience with these folks when I lived in Fairbanks, we have a number of volunteer fire organizations because the borough cannot afford to put together Class 1 employees and pay for them. So we supply equipment, training, and so forth, the borough did, and the people, especially EMS training, and so forth, and all these things were on voluntary. And people volunteered their time to go and help their neighbors fight fires and so forth, and they were not compensated because there was no provision to compensate them. As a member of the assembly, we would appropriate monies from time to time to purchase new equipment, operation of the equipment, and so forth, but we didn't have any salary structure or benefit package for the employees, not employees as such, but the volunteers. And in those areas, remote areas, Nome, Fairbanks, so this is the only service there is to provide for fire protection, because in Anchorage is a different story. They have this, and it's all part of the tax base and so forth. So without this community, someone's house catches on fire, they're going to burn down, and that's it.
Very good. Further questions, Mr. Dean? Mr. Dean, this is Representative Rooker, the chairman of the committee. It would be very helpful for our committee if you would send, would it be possible for you to send us a letter on your organization letterhead explaining your support for the bill and why you'd like it? Just a very small one. It might be good to have what we call the bill package for the legislative history on this bill. And I wouldn't ask us from anybody else, but if you already owned up to this being your idea, so.
Well, it wasn't my idea, but in the investigation of making sure we didn't get into problems in advance, it came up kind of the need to having this exemption.
Now, if you could fax us a letter at 465-2040, or call my office here in Juneau, we'd appreciate it.
That was 2040?
Right. That's our fax number here in Juneau.
Okay, and you were, again?
I'm Representative Norman Rokeberg.
Rokeberg?
Yeah, R-O-K-E-B-E-R-G. Kind of like in cheese.
Okay.
Very good.
Okay, thanks.
Further questions? None. Hearing none. Let's go on to... Fairbanks, Mr. Craig Lewis, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Craig Lewis. I'm the Executive Director of Interior Region Emergency Medical Services, and Tom is and his service are part of our organization. I'm also the President of the Alaska EMS Association, and I speak strongly in favor of this particular bill. EMS in Alaska, as you heard from Tom, and there are many others just like him, some 2,000 volunteers across the state of Alaska, provide the predominance of all of the pre-hospital care done in the state. They do this out of their own volition, on their own free time, and in many cases with their own money. Unfortunately, the proliferation of many rules which we don't control impact on the definition of what is a volunteer and what is an employee. And as those yardsticks are established, and they start adding up, one becomes two, becomes three, becomes four, the EMT that is a volunteer is right now on the edge by using those yardsticks established under the Federal Fair Labor Standards Act and also under the Wage and Labor Law of Alaska, is very close to being interpreted as, by definition, by regulation as an employee. If that happens, then that agency, who are also volunteers, like the Tok Clinic Board in the case of Tok, become employers, whether they like it or not. As an employer, they then assume all of the responsibilities that a normal employer would be required to do, from insurance to protections to minimum wage to reporting and all of those kind of things, when in reality, all a small community might want to do and all the organization might want to do is simply volunteer their time to help their neighbors in times of crisis or to help folks who are injured along the highway. To give you an example, the kinds of things that are established are if the group of people you work with tell you when to come to work, they provide you a uniform to provide your work in, they provide you a vehicle, in this case an ambulance, to provide that service with, they tell you what the minimum training you need to have in order to be a part of their service is, they tell you when to go to training and when not to go to training, and then they reimburse your expenses. And as you go on and you add to that list, it transitions into, by definition in the yardsticks by the Department of Labor and the FLSA, that's not a volunteer anymore, that's an employee. And what we're trying to do with this legislation, as is already in place for educational institutions, for cemetery workers, for religious organizations, is to add to that volunteer EMTs and firefighters so that we don't force these people out of business. They can't afford to do all of the things that are required of an employer. The people who are volunteering aren't asking that they do those things. And subsequently, we would like to be able to sustain those volunteers. And so I don't know that I answered a couple of the questions in what I've said, but I'd be happy to answer any additional questions. The Governor's Advisory Council on Emergency Medical Services also supports this particular idea. Thank you.
Mr. Lewis, do you know if the Governor's Advisory Council could provide us with a letter, or is there somebody you could ask?
The Governor's Advisory Council is meeting in Juneau at the end of April, I believe April 29th, but the chairman of the advisory committee, his name is Dr. John Hall. I could call and ask that he generate a letter on this behalf.
Right, because we may, hopefully the bill will pass before that date, I would hope, but at any rate, that would be helpful. The other questions of Mr. Lewis? Mr. Lewis, I appreciate your testimony, and we want to, I know I can speak for the committee in thanking you and all the several thousand volunteers that work around the state, and it's certainly our intent to fix any problems that may crop up in the law that create an undue burden on you, and we certainly want to give you any helping hand we can to get the bureaucracy off your back. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Next, we'd like to go to Mr. Randy Carr in Anchorage, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Randy Carr. I'm the chief of the Labor Standards Section with the Alaska Department of Labor, wherein resides the Wage and Hour Administration. And I hope I can clarify several of the questions that have been asked by members of the committee. This legislation really seeks to kind of level the playing field between the private, nonprofit emergency service organizations that exist in some of the rural areas and in the environs of Fairbanks, to level the playing field between those folks and all of the public fire department and emergency rescue services. All of the public services, such as that in Juneau, have many times a volunteer arm. But as a public sector entity, they are already exempt from the State Wage and Hour Act. They enjoy a separate exemption as political subdivisions of the state. But the private nonprofit groups, and there's seven or eight of them around the state that we've identified, do not have that exemption. They have to qualify under some other exemption that might exist, and the only one that even comes close is AS 2310055, which addresses nonprofit organizations, but it limits the nonprofit organizations to religious, charitable, cemetery, or educational organizations. and the charters and bylaws of most of these emergency services organizations don't define them as one of those four types of nonprofits. Therefore, by default, they end up in a situation of not legally being able to accept volunteer labor under the current status of the state law. They are covered under the State Wage and Hour Act. And we have not had, to my knowledge, any wage claims, but we have been working with several of the fire chiefs and the managers of the emergency organizations at their request to look at their operations to see if they might have a problem with minimum wage and overtime laws. And we have identified that this exemption doesn't cover them and that there's a gap here in terms of their operations. They're going to have to consider themselves employers whether they like it or not. And the type of situations that have arisen are such things as having someone stay in the firehouse or the ambulance garage location overnight so that should a call come in, they can have the equipment fired up and ready to go out to meet the volunteers as the call requires. Well, these people would like to stay there in exchange for simply a room and board situation. But because they cannot avoid the minimum wage and overtime requirement, that's illegal. So the whole intent of this legislation is to allow those private, nonprofit rescue organizations and fire organizations to enjoy the same sort of exempt status that allows them to accept volunteer labor that exists with regard to their public entity brethren. The Department of Labor does not oppose this legislation. It has actually very minor impact. I know you've heard testimony that there's 2,000 volunteers across the state, but not all of those volunteers work for private nonprofits. Most of those volunteers are working for public or associated with public entities rather than private entities. So there's actually a very small number of people affected here. We think that this is a reasonable solution to the problem. And as I said, the department does not oppose this legislation. If any of the members have questions, I'd be happy to entertain them.
My question is, Mr. Carr, Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Randy, a few years back, I introduced legislation concerning volunteer firefighters and workers' compensation. We had that passed, but we had volunteer policemen involved in there as well, and I don't see that here, and perhaps it doesn't apply in this particular action. Would it or does it not?
Mr. Chair, Representative Benson, I think you're correct. It doesn't apply. I'm not aware of any private police organizations that exist in the state. To my knowledge, they're all umbrellaed under a political subdivision, and therefore they enjoy the exemption of the political subdivisions that have and can accept volunteer labor.
Thank you very much. That answers my question.
Good question. Further questions, Mr. Carr? Mr. Carr, has there been any instances where the states tried to enforce the State Wage and Hour Act against any of these organizations?
No, there have not been any claims filed with the department. In our interaction with the agencies, what we have attempted to do is show them where the pitfalls lay and give them an opportunity to restructure their operations so that they can avoid the potential liability. It may not be, in any individual case, a tremendous amount of money when you're dealing with just minimum wage and possibly some overtime for one or two people, but most of these organizations are shoestring at best anyway, and a small wage claim could put them under, and that's something we're all trying to avoid. So we've not been in the role of being the black hat here, going out trying to bust up these illegal volunteer fire department organizations. What we've been trying to do is work with them to assure that they avoid a liability that they very well cannot afford.
Well, you've indicated that the department doesn't oppose this bill. What do we have to do to get you to support the bill?
Well, I think it would be no surprise to the committee that the Commissioner of Labor and the Department of Labor, as a historical matter, does not like to see any individual employee's rights to minimum wage or overtime eroded.
You rascals.
And this, in fact, does that, but we believe that the impact is extremely small, the number of people that are affected is extremely small, and that's offset by the general public policy benefit that's affected by the bill.
Well, I'll restrain myself without having time to clean up whatever I'm thinking right now to put on the public record, but I have further questions for Mr. Carr. Well, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
We have in Juneau, Mr. Mark Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Mark Johnson. I'm chief of the Section of Community Health and Emergency Medical Services for the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. Just briefly, we support the intent of this legislation. I'm no expert on wage and hour, but you just heard from the expert on that issue. Essentially, as we understand it, if indeed this bill does make it easier for volunteers to be reimbursed, we think that's one more step towards improving the ability to recruit new volunteers or to retain the volunteers that we already have in the system. And as Mr. Lewis and Tom Dean have already mentioned, in most of rural Alaska, the system is the volunteers. Briefly, in regard to Representative Cowdery's earlier question, the benefits, volunteers really don't get very many benefits from the state. I was going to mention Representative Hudson's bill on workers' compensation, which we supported a few years back, and I believe that was a help. And then there was another bill a few years back that we also helped the volunteers in the unorganized areas to get hepatitis B vaccinations. But they don't get very many benefits from the state. Sometimes they get some assistance with the training and that sort of thing. But to the extent that this helps the volunteer services, and we think it does, we definitely support it. Be happy to answer any questions.
Ms. Johnson, does the your department support this legislation?
Yes.
Would you be kind enough to support or give us a letter to that effect?
Yes.
Oh, well, we all appreciate
it. I believe so.
That.
I mean, I have to obviously get my commissioner to approve it, but I believe so, yes.
Well, tell Commissioner Perdue that this committee and the Senate would greatly appreciate it.
Okay.
Other questions of Mr. Johnson? Thank you very much, sir. Does anybody else wish to testify in House Senate Bill 137? Very good. The public hearing is closed. What's the wish of the committee?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hudson.
I move committee substitute for Senate Bill number 137, the E draft for 1097, with the zero fiscal note out with individual recommendation asking unanimous consent.
Are there objections? Hearing none. So moved. Representative Sanders, do you want to
make
an announcement of whether you're going to have a meeting or not tomorrow, or what's the status on that?
Yeah, we're going to have a meeting of the subcommittee on garbage bill.
Garbage day tomorrow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
At 12 o'clock.
You want to hold it out out at the
dump? The local
the dump?
I think it's here in this room.
Yeah,
it's not a dumpy room.
The garbage room.
Everybody's welcome.
That's good.
It's a good room. If you would like me to take up that uniform butter credit bill tomorrow, I can also do that in after these guys.
I don't know, the Masters golf tournament. So
I'm
going
to be gone.
Okay, well, do
it. If you take a day, we can notice.
Who was on your subcommittee, me and you?
I'm trying to remember. I don't know.
I'm about to have the committee aide. Oh, no. Remember. Look it up. Maybe Kathy.
Let's see. I remember garbage, but I don't remember the letter of credit. Let's see. Who wasn't here? Garbage was Bryce. He wasn't here.
I'm there.
We're going to go ahead and adjourn, but don't leave, guys. We adjourned at 3:54. This is for Kathy's sake.